have already had quite a few offerings in my begging bowl. And let's just look at a couple of them. In mindfulness practice off the cushion, could it be one option to focus fully on the task at hand? For example, when chopping vegetables, pay full attention to chopping vegetables. When walking to the shrine room, pay full attention to walking to the shrine room, etc. Yes. In a way, when I was, I think one of the various options I gave the other day, I was calling something like general mindfulness, by which I meant paying attention to the task at hand, whatever it was, just really giving yourself fully to that. There's a longer answer, but that will do. Don't know if this is too basic a question. I always like the questions which start like that. They're usually, you know, they're the good ones. They're the ones that... Yes. People who say, yeah, this is a very simple question. Well, I'm sure I ought to know this by now. They tend to be good. Okay. So this one is all about... I won't read it all, but do you have any tips for finding enjoyment in the tactile sensations of the breath? And the questioner goes on to talk about how they find enjoyment sort of around the breath, with enjoying pleasure and stability and so on. But they say, none of this is necessarily a problem, but I sometimes think that if I could encourage more enjoyment in the breath sensations, I could go deeper into absorption. Because they find the breath sensations quite neutral. It's quite an interesting topic in a way. I know when I first started doing our two basic practices, I found the breath just rather uninteresting and dull and boring. Whereas I found metta bhavana a real struggle. So I didn't actually get on very well with either of them. But then I was ordained about 20 months after I came along, and I was given a sadhana. And doing that, I was sort of as happy as a pig in muck. I was sort of in my element. So, yeah. But over the years, thankfully, I have discovered the joys of breathing practice. But it's come to question, really, whether whether the breath sensations, they tend to be quite neutral. Yes, if you just pay attention to the breathing now, I can find pleasure by focusing a little bit more on the kind of flowing quality of the sensations of the breath. And the more refined the awareness becomes, the more subtle that's becomes more pleasurable. And I can, as it were, set the sensations in a kind of context where I'm sort of savouring them like fine wine. I don't think I want to say that the sensations of the breathing are in themselves, as it were, inherently neutral or pleasant or unpleasant. Presumably, you know, the kind of Vedana that's associated with anything always depends on past associations and so on. But yeah, for me, like it's you have to work to separate out the sensations from what you're adding on to the sensations, if you see what I mean. So there's all sorts of interesting work there, but yeah, most of the time I think if I come to what I could call more like just the pure sensations of breathing, yes, in a way they are quite neutral. I don't know. They're just as they are. We have more time, we could share experiences. So yes, I'm not sure I can give the questioner a lot of help beyond those things that we could explore, exploring more the flowing aspect, bringing that kind of quality of savouring to the experience, and looking for subtlety in the experience, because the more subtle the object, the more subtle the awareness of the object, and that tends to enjoyment. Okay. So I'd like to start moving more into the area of integration and feeling, emotion, and positive emotion. So you know how in the Anapanasati Sutta, in the 16 stages, in those four tetrads, it moves from awareness of the breathing more in terms of what the breath is like, long and short, and so on. And then it moves into exploring Vedana, sensation, feeling. And in English we use feeling and emotion, they kind of blend, and sensation and feeling we often use quite loosely as well. Vedana is that the fundamental kind of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral sensation or feeling. I'm going to call it sensation. Based on which feelings and emotions grow. Unless we do something about that process. Yeah. So, unpleasant sensations, unpleasant Vedanas, tend to lead to larger kind of aversive emotions. And pleasant Vedanas tend to lead to craving and the emotions that come out of that. And neutral Vedanas tend to lead to boredom, indifference, ignoring. So probably this afternoon we'll go more into the more emotional aspect of things, but let's start just with doing a little bit more work with Vedana. In a minute we'll meditate. Because Vedana they didn't answer the sort of basic triggers for those stronger emotions. And also, if we don't feel very strongly anything, Vedanas are also a kind of gateway into discovering our feelings more. We just start working with, you know, what am I experiencing, and the tone of it. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Is it neutral? That leads us into the world of our feelings, and the more in that world, one thing tends to open up into another. As we become more familiar, more attuned to the pleasant, the unpleasant and neutral sort of tone of our experience, it usually leads us into becoming more conscious of the feelings, the emotions that have been produced by them. And then becoming aware of an emotion, very often that leads us into deeper levels of emotion. And so it goes on. So Vedana is a very good place to start. And the other very good place to start is to notice the quality of the attention that we're bringing to the experience. So I've been, so far, when we've been practicing with the breathing, I think I've always said, and we bring a kindly awareness to the body. We're constantly looking to not just look at things in a sort of cold way. We're looking to find an approach to our experience which is welcoming, interested, sympathetic, so that our heart's engaged in the process. Okay, let's do another short period of practice to finish the morning with. And we'll come back to all this more this afternoon. Sitting quietly, letting mind and body rest. No pressure, no demands. Ah, big deep breath. Our meditation cushion is a refuge from the pressures of life, and we need to make it a refuge from putting pressure on ourselves. making sure we have a sense of freedom. Don't have to be here, don't have to meditate. If you'd rather, you just get up now. Completely free. Just enjoying that freedom. Freedom can grow over time with practice. All positive qualities can grow over time with practice. And these few minutes, another step. Just adding a little bit to the momentum. So making sure we're well grounded. That we're as comfortable and as upright as we can be. So that our energy can flow well through the body. Now bringing awareness into the body, into the sensations. Don't have to do this systematically. If we just see what needs our attention, what would appreciate our awareness, So with this kindly, sympathetic, nurturing awareness, which isn't rushed, we pay attention to whatever we notice, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral sensations. Feeling into them. They unfold and transform. what all our experience really wants. Is to be fully attended to. With kindness. Pleasant sensations, we don't hold on to them. There are unpleasant sensations, we don't push them away. If there are neutral sensations, we don't dull out. Becoming intimate with our experience. ready to bring the meditation to an end. Once again, just coming back to resting with awareness. Experience carries on being there.